Chapter 60. Corrupted. There is a clash of talons and sparking magic as the sand demons launch themselves at our shields. I strike over the edge of Selen's shield, skewering the Alagai and threatening to tear open my wound. I didn't much feel the cut, but my nerves scream at the ripping of flesh just begun to knit. Braced against the impact, Arik groans and staggers a step, but he does not yield. My brothers work their spears over the wall, killing more of the demons, but it will not be enough. We're going to die here. All of us. Alagai Kaa has failed to turn us into his willing slaves, so he will wipe us out, that none might betray what really happened here. But then, rising above the shouts and shrieks, I hear Darren's pipes and Rojva's voice. The two entwine their music with rising power. But it isn't the Song of Waning, or some other composition I know. I don't think it's a composition at all. It's something improvised to meet the moment, and without the Demon King's influence, his drones cannot resist it. Wind demons shriek as they fly to echolocate objects around them and the presence of their fellows. They bank in perfect formation, beginning another dive. The duo take those sounds and reflect back a corrupted version. The effect is almost instantaneous. Demons begin colliding in midair and instinctively lashing out with teeth and claws. Others miscalculate their flight paths, crashing into walls, stalactites, the ground, at high speed. A handful bounce off the shield wall, but none make it over our defences. My warriors are quick to finish off the stunned and wounded demons as Rojva changes her song and Darren continues to improvise around it. They turn their power to the sand demons, and the Alagai scrabble back from us in terror, turning to flee into the many tunnels leading into the cavern. The remaining wind demons are next, sent flocking back to wherever they came from. Before long, there isn't a living demon anywhere in sight. This, more than anything, convinces me. I turn to Gorvan and Fasik. Alagai Kaa has fled the field. Make litters for the wounded. We must return to the holy city before he can gather strength to return. My brothers punch fists to their chests. Your will, Prince Olive, Fasik says. It is a great victory. I say nothing, and the men get to work. They ain't wrong, Selen says. Just getting out alive is a win. I spit on the ground, watching Rojva continue her song, even as she tends her brother's wounds. Chadan and Mika have gone cold, just like hundreds of my brothers since we entered this creator-forsaken place. There's no win, Sel, I say. We paid in blood and have nothing to show for it but loss. We could have killed him, Selen says. We were close. I felt it. I nod. I felt it too. But now he's gone, and he ain't stupid enough to expose himself again. He'll wait and plot and come at us again when we're not looking, from a direction we don't expect. Selen gives me a doubtful look. How can you know so much about what that thing was thinking? Because I was in his head. Get away from my sister, I tell Iriven, who still kneels with Mika's cold body across his lap. His bloody punch dagger lies on the stone beside them. My brother does not move. She's my sister too. It didn't stop you from killing her. Nor were you able to resist putting your arm around Darren Bale's throat. There's no fight in Iriven's tone. Only a weary resignation. The father of lies made us all into his slaves. Drillmaster Zim, of the Spears of the Desert, is Iriven's closest lieutenant. He stands close by, and others are listening. A reminder that though the men follow me for the moment, Iriven is Sharum Kaa, and they are sworn to serve him. I don't look at the drillmaster, eyes fixed on my brother. Were you the Demon King's slave when you kidnapped her? when you took Mika from her wife, her life? The words give Iravan pause, and it is a long time before he speaks.
I don't know.
Not good enough. My Hansar is back on my belt, and I grip it now, hand shaking with rage. You ruined her life. Our lives. All this blood and pain, and for what? Iravan nods.
You said once I owed you a blood debt, little brother. And so I do. But Evaram is listening, and I cannot say before him that Alagai Kaa took me last moon, or if the father of lies planted seeds of evil in my mind long ago. It seems bringing you and your friends here was always his infernal plan.
He looks up, meeting my eyes at last.
It would be easy to blame the father of lies, but I was the second son of a wife, exiled from our father's court, the most hated member of the most hated tribe. The Demaja foresaw that I could achieve glory still, and for that, I would have given anything. Even if Alagai Kaa took no part, I cannot say I would have done differently.
He reaches into his armor, and I stiffen, ready to defend. But Iravan remains on his knees as he pulls off his Alagai scale shirt and tosses it at my feet.
Take it.
A suit of Tazan armor is a princely gift, but I kick it aside like a filthy rag.
I don't want your armor. I no longer need it.
Iravan's robes are soaked with sweat, the black hair matted to his chest as he pulls these open as well.
It is one thing to do Alagai Kaa's bidding in the dark of new moon.
Iravan picks up the punch dagger. I half draw my Hansar, but he turns the blade on himself, pressing the point into the flesh over his heart.
It's another to learn that you carry that bidding into the day.
The Sharum all begin murmuring at once, but I am frozen. Iravan opens his fingers, presenting the hilt to me.
Olive, Asu Arman, am paper am hollow. The time has come to collect your debt.
The Sharum goes silent, staring at me, but I make no move to take the blade. I've had enough blood.
You are my brother, Iravan says, and I am your Sharum Kaa. You cannot honorably refuse me.
I shake my head. You, of all people, cannot dictate honor or familial loyalty to me, brother.
I beg you,
Iravan whispers, a reminder of Andu, left dead at my hand.
Do not leave me unmanned by Alagai Kaa.
I cast about helplessly. The Sharum all have the blank stare of men who have accepted death. None of them will raise a hand to stop me. Indeed, Iravan is right, that they will count it against my honor if I refuse. Darren takes the pipes from his lips to protest.
Olive, you can't.
End your decision, Darren, Selen says.
Darren looks like he wants to say more, but he takes his pipes back up instead. Time is wasting, and the longer we stay down here, the greater the chance Alagai Kaa will return. I look to Rojva. She is holding a groaning Arik's hand as warriors lift him onto a litter. But like everyone, she watches me. Iravan is her blood too. But she looks at her uncle sadly, then nods at me. Trembling, I take a step forward, then another, until I am close enough to kneel beside Mika. My vision blurs as I look into her eyes one last time, then gently close the lids, laying a tearful kiss on each. I reach into her robes,
searching until I find one of the tiny tear bottles she always carries. Awkwardly, I scrape the sharp edge against my cheeks, filling the vial with several drops. I close it in her hands. Let my love guide you on the lonely path, sister. You died a warrior and will sup at Everam's table in heaven. Then I turn to Iraven, still presenting the handle of the punch dagger. I slip my fingers into it, closing my hand so the blade becomes an extension of my fist. A surge of adrenaline runs through me, but I embrace the feeling, breathing in the steady rhythm that kept Mika and Chidan so calm. My heart is cold as I look into Iraven's eyes. Is your soul ready for the lonely path?
No, Iraven admits. But I will walk it all the same and accept Everam's judgment. I am no longer fit for this world. I cannot ask our brothers to trust in my leadership when I do not trust myself. Better to end it now, with honor.
Honor. Does he even know the meaning of the word? Do I? Iraven tore apart my life, my very sense of self, for his own selfish pride. Mika would be alive now, if not for him. Chidan would be alive. Chika and Andu and countless others. I would be safe in Hollow, and none of this would have come to pass. Just as Andu did, Iraven lays a gentle hand over mine, pulling slightly to push the blade deeper into his flesh.
Do it, brother.
I scowl. Am I his brother? Our relationship began with him kidnapping me because he thought I was only a sister, a thing to be possessed. It was not until he thought me a man that he treated me with anything resembling dignity. But even then, I was kept like a prize. Chidan, Farseek, and the rest of my classmates in Shiraj earned the right to call me brother. Iraven did not.
I'm not your brother, Iraven. I shove hard, driving the blade into his heart, as he did to Mika. I'm your sister.
Iraven nods, not breaking eye contact, as he falls forward, leaning his weight on me.
I am sorry, sister.
Horror fills me as the light leaves his eyes. It's easy to tell myself he deserves this, that he kidnapped me and killed Mika, that he betrayed us all. But I was in Alagai Kar's head. None of us have ever been anything but pieces on a board to him. Iraven slumps in my arms, and I throw my head back and howl. Drillmaster Zim approaches, and I wonder if he is duty-bound to arrest me or exact vengeance for killing his master. Instead, he lays a heavy hand on my shoulder and gives a paternal squeeze.
It took courage for him to take the lonely path, my prince. And it took courage for you to send him on his way. You did him great honor.
He didn't deserve it, I say.
In Evra, the drillmaster shrugs. That is for the Creator to judge. We cannot admit him to heaven, but for his sacrifice, I will carry his body back myself and petition the Damaji to bleach his bones for Sharik Hora.
I nod. Chidan and Mika as well. The other fallen are too numerous to carry, but I won't leave my sister and my prince for the demons to scavenge.
Of course, the drillmaster says.